This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
Now we go over the national front into the state. And that's where we welcome in the newcomer, State Senator Kevin Thomas. Have you heard of the Long Island Nine? Well, this past election, that was somewhat decimated. That's right, six of the chamber's nine seats on Long Island. Democrats dominated the scene. It is a pleasure to welcome him in. First time right here on LI News Radio, State Senator Kevin Thomas, representing District Number 6. Sir, how are you?
Good. How is everyone doing today?
It is a pleasure to have you here. Boy, I tell you, you're the Long Island Nine. Forget about that. Obliterated it was in November. And, you know, I tell you, one of the more unexpected results was State Senator Kevin Thomas in his now role. A victory, narrow it was, but still taking out somebody who's been there a while. That was State Senator Kemp Hannon. Give me what that was like on election night for you, Senator.
That was incredible. We worked really hard, knocked on a lot of doors, and it showed during election night, you know, what we were able to accomplish.
It certainly was. Very historic region. Republicans' historic region controlled the region at one time, known as the Long Island Nine. We'll get into some of the bills, sponsoring your first one as well in a second. I just want to give the audience, Senator Thomas, a little background. I know you're an attorney. You're an appointee of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights to the New York State Advisory Committee. If you can elaborate a little bit on that.
Sure. So before I got into politics, I was a legal services attorney. I represented individuals who were getting sued over credit card debt, student loans, auto loans. I was a consumer advocate, you could say that. I was later appointed by the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights to the New York State Advisory Committee, which has oversight on civil rights matters of the state. I've resigned from both of those positions so that, you know, I can be a state senator now. But my work has always been to stand up for the little guy, to stand up for the working poor, stand up for the middle class.
And basically all the work you did kind of prepped you for the role which you're in right now. And you did you always have that inclination, Senator Thomas, to maybe get into the world of politics in some sort of fashion?
Sir. No, absolutely not. You can ask my wife. She wouldn't have married me.
Basically, you know, you just kind of had an epiphany, right? You know, you wanted to do some, you know, all this work you were doing on the civil rights situation. You know what? You felt it could be a great way to serve. Was that kind of the impulse at that point in time?
Yes. It was more or less what was going on in the federal government and how the Department of Education was basically trampling on the rights of student loan borrowers, and how all of these for-profit colleges were coming in and basically, you know, hurting the working poor by offering them these promises that they could not fulfill, like the six-figure salary if you go to their schools. You know, you won't be in too much debt. And I saw the federal government just come in and not enforce what they used to enforce under the last administration. I thought, you know what, I need to get in to politics so that I can be there to protect people.
Doing right now, State Senator Kevin Thomas with us, 6th District, ladies and gentlemen, represents. Give me an idea. We'll get into some of the bills in a second, Senator. Give me an idea. First entrance way into Albany. You know, listen, you see some of the more experienced individuals there. What was that like for you, kind of that first day as far as, you know, kind of getting to know people, getting to know the ins and outs of what happens within the state capitol? Give me your experiences there.
So I'm still in the learning process right now, given that, you know, it's only been a month since we took power. It's very new, but at the same time, you have a lot of people, you know, including more senior senators in our conference that are there to basically help someone who is new to the scene. They are there to mentor. Like, for example, Senator Kaminsky, who is the the leader here from the Long Island Six. You know, he's been mentoring all of us as to, you know, how to proceed with certain issues, how to proceed with the committee, how to proceed with bills, etc. So there's a lot of help. The first day that I walked in, it finally hit me that I was a senator. You know, you walk into the chambers, this is such a beautiful, beautiful room. If you ever get a chance to go up to Albany, you go in there, and once you stare up into the ceiling, you realize the immense responsibility that you have as to where you are and what you have to do now in order to take care of your district. So it was just incredible. I was awestruck when I was there, but I have a lot of help. I have a lot of senior lawmakers mentoring me as well. So I'm in good hands doing this.
You got a lot of experience in that room, no question. That's a great way of describing, by the way. You know, it's interesting. Before you came on, Senator, we had Congressman Peter King on. He said through the grapevine, a little birdie might have told him that we could have some sort of a compromise, talking, of course, to avert another shutdown. We don't want that. But, you know, with that being said, we'll see. But, you know, congratulations. Speaking of that, you sponsored your first bill keeping, you know, these credit agencies from gathering negative information about the federal employees who are out of work for those 35 days. From the first stoppage. So it kind of advances to the Consumer Protection Committee, which I know you chair. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, one of the first things that happened was the leader, Andrea Cousins, appointing me to the chairmanship of this committee because I'm the most experienced person there in the Senate. To actually, you know, lead this committee. I have a nickname there already as Mr. Consumer Protection. So she gave me this role, and I'm proud to push bills out there. So one of the reasons why I decided to draft this bill, this is actually the first one that we drafted from scratch, was because I was seeing, you know, these federal workers, about 800,000 nationwide that are affected, and there are a lot of them here in New York. And when they don't get a paycheck, they can't pay their student loans, their auto loans, their mortgage loans, their credit cards, their gas station credit cards, you know, any type of credit that they have on them, they can't pay for. And since the shutdown lasted more than 30 days, I immediately realized they have a big problem. It's not just that they can't afford their rent, not just that they can't afford groceries, but if you miss a payment, the lender will report a negative on your credit report, which will last 7 years. Which will plummet your credit score. And this has nothing to do with the individual, but what the government is doing. And it is completely unfair to the individual.
There's no question. So, in fact, yeah, you're right, 100% right. You know, listen, you don't have any leverage. That's the problem. And, you know, Congressman King, you know, has stated, you know, who knows, we'll see. I mean, do you believe that a compromise from the federal level could be coming soon, hopefully to avert a second one? Do you believe in that?
I do not know. Here's the thing, right? The president wants a wall. The Democrats do not want a wall. And the wall is not going to help in deterring illegal immigration, right? So we have to find other ways of protecting our border. A $5 billion wall is not the answer. And I don't think the Democrats are going to compromise on that. I don't think Donald Trump is going to compromise on anything without a wall. So we're going to go into another shutdown. And I need to protect federal workers here in New York before that happens.
So you believe February 15th, a week from tomorrow, we could see round two of this, pretty much.
Yes.
Wow. That's unbelievable. By the way, you know, 10 o'clock today, another colleague of yours, Jim Gorin, another, you know, newbie on the block, so to speak, took out Carl Marcelino, you know, part of that Long Island Nine way back. He will be hosting the county executives, Senator Thomas, Steve Ballone and Laura Curran, at his Oyster Bay office there. And, of course, you know, it's all about, you know, the workers trying to help out. Giving them a 90-day extension on making the property tax payments. So, you know, that law was established last week. I think it expires in June of next year. Extension's possible in case of another shutdown. But, again, you know, you got to look out for these workers here who, you know, are kind of, you know, in the middle, being used as pawns, so to speak, when you think about it.
Yes. I mean, I applaud Senator Gorin for holding that press conference and getting attention on that issue. This is what the Long Island Six, this is what we are doing. We're protecting Long Island because we have a lot of federal workers on Long Island. You know, you have air traffic controllers, you have the FAA, you have the Navy. We have a lot of federal workers here who have been affected, and this is what the Long Island Six has been doing. We're here to protect Long Island. You know, this isn't, we're not city senators. We're looking out for Long Island. We're going to make sure Long Island is the number one priority, and this is why we're pushing these bills through.
Question, say Senator Kevin Thomas, you're listening to Entranceway into the 6th District, part of that Long Island 6, taking out the Long Island 9, or at least obliterating it. You know, I tell you, it's been real busy in Albany, Senator Thomas. You know, they're getting it done. And another, you know, piece of legislation in which you were a part of with the Senate Majority Conference, the Extreme Risk Protection Order, part of the legislation package to enhance New York's gun safety laws. If you could talk about that a second.
So just today, I read news about a janitor from Patchogue who was arrested with an arsenal of weapons. You know, this is exactly why we need this extreme risk protection order. Because you have individuals who are out there, you know, with an arsenal of weapons, and they may have other issues that percolate, you know. So this bill will be great to protect the community, to make sure that, you know, dangerous individuals are basically flagged and their weapons are taken away from them. Are you aware of the incident in Patchogue by any chance?
Yeah, well, you're talking about with the teenager? That was last July, right?
No, this one was just recently. I think they arrested him yesterday.
He was part of the Comac school district. He was a maintenance worker, you're talking about, the 30-year-old?
I think so, yeah, janitor in Patchogue.
Yeah, yeah. He was so actually part of the Comac school district. Yeah.
Okay. These are the kind of individuals that, you know, we need protection from. You know, these are the kind of individuals that have an arsenal in their house, and if anything, you know, gets them mad, they will go in and shoot up the place. So we need to have these kind of bills out there, these kind of laws out there, so that we can be protected.
There's no question. I mean, the only thing I wanted to see, you know, added to that, Senator Thomas, was just raising the age from 18 to 21 as far as, you know, the assault rifles in general. And I mean, if we have to learn lessons. Most recently, what happened last February in Parkland in Florida, the school, 19-year-old came in, rifle under the coat. I want to see that age raised a little bit. Is there any reason why we didn't see that?
You know, no bill is perfect. I don't think even if we raise the age, which I am in favor of, it would have prevented Parkland. You know, or it would prevent an individual who wants to carry out a massacre from any sort of deterrence. It's getting these bills out there and to make sure we protect as many people as possible is the best route.
Kevin Thomas is with us, Senator Thomas, State Senator Thomas. He represents Mid-Nassau County, ladies and gentlemen. That is the 6th district. I tell you right off the bat, Senator, was this Child Victims Act, which I thought was important. Unanimous support, I remember reading. I think it was 63 votes as far as in favor there. That was a good one. This thing has been floating for a long time, you know, 15 years. And under the bill, we spoke about it on the program, you know, charges of their abuser or institutions until the age of 55. Current statute of limitations is, until 23. So I thought that was well done there, well needed, no question.
Yeah. You know, it's about time we protected children, and this was a no-brainer. And I am so happy my Republican colleagues in the Senate voted with us. That was like the first one where it was 63-0. Even Senator Flanagan showed up for that vote. He usually doesn't come on the floor, but for that he did.
Wow! How about that, Flanagan? Yeah. He's. You know, he's finally coming to the table, no question. I know he's had a few problems. Hopefully he is in good form, but well needed. And, you know, you bring up a good point, and that is, you know, bipartisan, the word bipartisan. We hear it all the time. We hear it on the national level, state. We hear it locally here in Long Island. You know it's vital, quite vital indeed. Do you get a sense coming into this thing? The political landscape, I mean, you know the back and forth. You know that sometimes little gets done when it's all about party affiliation rather than in unison. Is that something the Thomas voice, the Senator Thomas voice, can change? Do you get a good feeling on that going into this thing, Senator?
So here's the thing, right? When the Republicans were in charge of the Senate, nothing took place. If you look at what happened in the last 30 days, we have gotten so much accomplished. The Democratic Conference and the leadership, you have Andrea Stewart-Cousins and Mike Gennaris, who basically led the charge here, you know, pushing forward voting reform, gun safety legislation, the Reproductive Health Act, you know, all of these going in the first 30 days. It just shows that we can do this. You know, I am all for bipartisanship, but at the same time, you know, these are bills that have been blocked by the Republicans for close to a decade, you know. So I'm all for bipartisanship. I mean, my bill on the furloughed workers, I got some bipartisanship there. But, you know, on certain issues, we just cannot, you know, get on the same page.
No doubt. Listen, things work well when everybody is together. Give me a final thought here regarding the governor, Andrew Cuomo. Give me your thoughts meeting him. You know, listen, there's a few rumors out there that he could decide to run for the presidency. As far as 2020 is concerned, overall feeling regarding Andrew Cuomo?
He's a good guy. I haven't met him too many times, but all the times I have met him, he comes off as a good leader. He comes off as a strong individual, and you know, he's a good governor, to say the least.
Senator, with that being said, we bid you adieu. Can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes. Well done. Enjoy it. And let's hope this continues as far as accomplishments and everything else there up in Albany. Certainly will be well needed, no question. Thanks for coming
on
with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
There you go. State Senator Kevin Thomas. He's part of that Long Island 6, really kind of taking apart the Long Island 9. Mentioned Jim Gorin. Took apart Carl Mazzolino, remember. You know, listen, let's see what happens. They have come out with a vengeance. I will say that. Child Victims Act, gun legislation, situation regarding furloughed workers, you know, they've come out. They're getting it done. Let's hope it continues. No question.